You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
At my Wellness for Life Center in Santa Monica, California, we specialize in chronic illness, particularly allergies, chronic fatigue syndrome, autoimmune disease, digestive disorders, and so much more. So I have to create special dietary forms of protocols for each one of them, individualizing them for their specific health conditions. Although each of the patients has these needs, I ask every person to understand that they have to reduce their symptomatology quickly, so that they can get to the root cause of their inflammatory symptoms, such as the pain and nasal congestion, intestinal bloating, itchy skin, depression. Yeah, depression is actually an inflammatory symptom. Now, after 27 years in clinical practice, I've tried every methodology available to healthcare practitioners, and I must say that nothing changes the body for the better. Nothing alleviates symptoms faster than altering what you eat and drink. In my book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, my first step to an allergy-free life is to clean up your nutrition. Eliminate 7 most prevalent allergenic foods that cause inflammation and disease. Now, the one thing about my book was that it didn't include any forms of allergy-free recipes. Now, that was a huge, huge mistake because I got hundreds and hundreds of emails asking for recipes and cookbooks that worked around my allergy makeover program. Now, I just went all into all the different types of, the top 50 different recipe books, and I really found my favorite cookbook that worked well with my principles of living allergy-free, and that was written by my guest today, Alyssa Segerston. Now, she's the author of the Whole Life Nutrition Cookbook, Elimination Diet, and my favorite newly released Nourishing Meals, 365 Whole Foods Allergy-Free Recipes for Healing Your Family One Meal at a Time. Welcome to Wellness for Life, Allie. I'm so excited to have you on my show.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Allie, you're not only a best-selling author here, but you're a whole foods chef, cooking instructor, functional nutrition health coach, and even a mother of 5 children. I don't know how you do it, but that's just incredible. Now, how did you get into healthy eating and functional medicine?
Well, actually, I was raised this way. My mom cooked all my meals from scratch. She made my own baby food. So my taste buds developed at a very, very early age to prefer healthy, natural foods. And then actually in about 1999, I started to have some digestive issues after I went to college and, of course, started eating not so well. And so I discovered the Body Ecology Diet by Donna Gates. And I started making my own fermented vegetables and eliminating gluten and dairy, my first elimination diet, actually. And within 3 weeks, I felt amazing. And that was really my first introduction to functional medicine and root cause. And so, in about, 2002 or so, Tom, my partner, was always listening to Jeff Bland's functional medicine updates. At the time, he would send out monthly CDs, and so I was always listening to those in the background. I didn't exactly get really into it, though, until about 2010 when I wrote the Nourishing Meals book, and I really wanted to get to more of the root causes for why everything was on the rise, why the allergies and eczema and everything was on the rise with children. And so that's when I started to delve into all the research of functional medicine.
It's such great to hear that, you mentioned Tom. Tom Alter is one of my favorite people in the natural medicine world, everyone. And he's the author, the co-author of your books as well. I've actually interviewed him on Radio MD for the Elimination mm-hmm. Diet book. And we had such a great time. I think all of us in the natural medicine, integrative medicine, functional medicine world, we all know Dr. Jeffrey Bland, because we've all gone through so many of his conferences, been to all of his seminars. I know I have, and I have all of his books. He was a big, strong, at least for me, influence in the way we live our lives, and he's constantly giving out new information. So thanks so much for bringing up Jeffrey Bland, because that's definitely for sure. Now, For me, it sounds just like for you. You had physical issues for the way I have a lot of, you know, people, guests that come on our show, and they all have in some way a personal story, right? For you, mm-hmm. it was your own body. What was amazing is that your mother, that's like unheard of that so many years ago, mm-hmm. you know, your mother lived this way. And, you know, the thing that I'm always interested in is how do we, why is it that we do what we do? You know, you wanted to live a certain type of life. You not only genetically through your mother, but also you were taught so much in various ways. What inspired you to write this new book? This is a newly released book, but I'll tell you what, I was using your book before. This is the second edition, is it not?
Yes, Nourishing it is. Yeah, because we self-published it. I started writing it in 2010, and it was published in 2012 as the self-published edition, and we sold so many books. It was incredible. I mean, we had such amazing feedback. And so now it's published through a major publisher, and they did a great job, and we added new information. I added more recipes. There's beautiful photos in this edition. And so I think I love what they did to this book because it really, really just makes it a cohesive book for parents that need a handbook for their kids and for raising their families in a healthy way. So I started writing this book because we started noticing in our practice and just all around in I had four kids at the time, but I was exposed to, you know, a lot of different groups on Facebook and just hearsay in the community and elsewhere on Facebook. More babies than ever are on gastric acid blocking medications. I couldn't believe it. There's more eczema, there's more food allergies, more autoimmune conditions, more complex health issues in both children and adults, which I'm sure you can relate to. And so I wanted to put together a practical book, a handbook, and a cookbook for parents to navigate these issues by understanding all of these root causes to food allergies and eczema and autoimmune conditions in a really simplified, practical way, like that broke down functional medicine into its just basic components. So parents that didn't have a lot of knowledge in science and in health could take this and understand it and apply it to their lives really easily.
That's right. What I love about your book is that it's easy to understand and read. And I know you mentioned it's like a handbook, but Ellie, it's not a handbook. Everyone out there listening, it is a big, big book. Handbook sounds like it's a tiny little flimsy thing, but I'm telling you, this cookbook is the best. And I'm not kidding. I gave all my patients, it's sitting on my bookshelf in my office, and every new patient that comes in, I tell them, get this book so that they can use it for all the different things that I recommend, which is dairy-free, gluten-free, soy-free, right? And then I also recommend sugar-free and alcohol-free. And and some of my patients are very allergic to eggs. So what I just tell people is, listen, wherever there's an egg, you know, recipe, just don't use it. But everything else works so perfectly in alignment with my belief system, because I truly believe the inflammation, it really starts in your gut. So when we talk about these allergies, I mean, in my book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, I talk a lot about my son's allergies, and that's really what got me going back in 1996. So it's pretty much, you know, similar time when you were having trouble, I was also dealing with that. So then let's talk about this allergies, because I had, you know, my own beliefs why we have more allergies, and I wrote that all in the book, but I want to hear about you and what you think, why the reasons we have allergies and eczema and more inflammatory conditions that are related right now to this time of age.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to tell you a little background story on this, is that my kids don't have food allergies, but my daughter, my second daughter, has a sensitivity to gluten. And in her toddler years, we had some tests done. And I only introduced it a couple times because I was, you know, already very knowledgeable about that. Tom already had a gluten sensitivity, so I really didn't cook with it much. I didn't have it around, but I was still eating it occasionally because I didn't have any issues. And so she had more fat malabsorption, actually, than they had ever seen in a child. She was 2 when we got the test done, ever. And she's very thin. And I kind of look back at now that I'm putting all this together, and even though I ate really well during pregnancy, I was really stressed because we moved and I was working a lot, and I didn't eat enough food. I know I didn't eat enough food. And I probably didn't get all the nutrients she needed. And genetically, she was already predisposed to celiac disease. She has both genes for celiac disease. We had her genes tested also. And so that was a really eye-opening experience for me, is when I just was like, that's it. I'm not eating gluten anymore. I don't want it in the house. I need to help her heal. And I started making bone broth and doing her fermented vegetables. And that was a while ago. She's about 12 now, almost 12. So, yeah. So anyways, so the allergies, why are we seeing so many more allergies these days? And this is what I do cover in the Nourishing Meals book. So there's antibiotic use, both in humans and in our food supply, in the animals and the milk and the dairy we eat. Nutrient deficiencies, there's key nutrients, of course, for normalizing your immune response. One is vitamin D, and so many people have vitamin D deficiencies, even if you're getting enough sunshine, because, of course, there are chemicals like pesticides and BPA that actually degrade vitamin D once it's in the body. So it degrades it to its inactive form. Then we have so many more environmental toxins that are aggravating our immune system. We have, of course, imbalanced gut microflora, which I'm sure you see a lot in your patients, which caused by, of course, antibiotics, toxins like pesticides, et cetera, and lack of diversity in the diet, so lack of plant fibers. Gastric acid blocking medications, both in adults and children. Of course, we see a lack of breastfeeding. And an increase in C-sections. Now, I know that sometimes, C-sections, of course, are life-saving for children. My boys, twins were born via C-section. We did bring in probiotics to the birth, so they had them right after birth. Now, of course, they're doing vaginal swabbing, so you can take the contents from the vagina and they swab it all over the baby and inside the baby's mouth, so you can get the beneficial bacteria. And then, of course, there's a lack of fermented foods or traditional foods in the diet needed for proper gut health and immune system modulation, which then dampens our response to things in the environment like food and dander and pollen.
So,
in a nutshell.
But I mean, there's so many reasons, aren't there? And that's what I found was that this is a multifactorial issue, why we've got more allergies. What we also forget, often is that our foods that we're eating these days is because of a GMO, GMO as much as the glyphosate, which is in our foods. It's just rampant in the foods that we have, and that will disrupt the digestive system, causing a leaky gut syndrome. Now, one of the things that I wanted to share was that, this thing that you told me about the malabsorption of fats for your little one, the second baby that you had. There are two enzymes, I should say two genes, genetic variants called PEMT and the ACAT gene, both of them which are essential for shuttling fat into the cell, into the mitochondria for digestion, right, and utilization. And on top of that, you also need the right amount of bile, and phosphatidylcholine is one of the factors that make the bile more optimal. So I am sure that if you ever go into that detail, because I do a lot of methylation testing now, I find that to be true for a lot of people, because that my son has the exact same problem as your second baby.
Interesting. That is
Isn't
great.
It?
That's great to share with everybody too.
Yeah. So you talked a bit about fermented foods, and you said that lack of fermented foods. My son was a C-section baby as well, but I knew enough as soon as he came out to start giving him acidophilus. I didn't even consider doing a vaginal swabbing back then. This is 1994. 1994. The whole idea of using fermented foods is fantastic, because I've been eating, kimchi my whole life. I'm Korean. So being from Korea, we just eat like 20, 25 different types of kimchis,
That sounds amazing.
Various times. Isn't it amazing?
I want to come to your house.
I know, really. You know what I was thinking about? I wanted to do like a kimchi making party at my house. My patients are dying for it. So I might just do that and make it a live Facebook video.
That
would be so much fun.
That would be great. Yes.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things going on. And then the other thing I was just thinking is that groupie strep. There's a lot of people that have groupie strep and they're given antibiotics during their birth. And that is another cause of, well, it's going to just immediately kind of kills most of the beneficial bacteria in your body. So the babies don't get that even if they're born naturally. And that was something that we had with Grace as well, but I didn't take the antibiotics. I was like, I would be strep positive, but I looked into all of it back then, and I knew even at that time that that would disrupt her microbiome. And so I opted not to take them. I had a home birth with her, very beautiful, easy home birth. And so that's another thing to consider. I'm not going to recommend that for everybody, but you need to look into that. Is it really necessary? And so there's some good information on that out there.
And that's a good point about the group B strep. There are many, many women that are just carriers of it in their vagina, and mm-hmm. it doesn't cause any symptomatology. They're just a carrier. I think at least 30 to 35% of the women, actually, something like that, have that. And I only know about it because a lot of my patients come in concerned about it, right? And they're just trying to eradicate it. Not because they, I mean, some of them, they've already had babies, but they're just concerned. And I think that if you have a much healthier flora in your gut, that's where you're going to have a change in your vagina, because people don't realize that's where all the bacteria comes from. That's where all the yeast comes from anyway, from the rectal area. Isn't that right?
It is. It is. And the thing is that you can have, like I had, you know, four different pregnancies. So one was twins. I didn't have it with all of them. So it's group B strep also is fluctuating. So it comes and goes, and it comes and goes depending on all the other bacteria that are present, right? The other bacteria, beneficial bacteria, will crowd it out. So I actually did probiotic suppositories during the last couple of weeks of my pregnancy with her.
Also. Oh, that's smart. Absolutely. Yeah. That'll change things. So, you know, in your book, you go into nourishing meals. You go into all the different types of foods and how you can help your family thrive. And, you know, you mentioned something about your mother, you know, was the one that helped you. But I really think it all starts even in the womb. So obviously your mm-hmm. mother was eating super well. And do you believe that pregnant women can use all of these meals as well?
This book is designed for preconception, pregnancy, and childhood. Now, we talk about all the different nutrients that you need during preconception and pregnancy, and that's one thing my mom did. She ate liver and onions all through my pregnancy, through the pregnancy with me, because she knew how nutritious that was, of course. And so, so really looking at your nutrient intake, and so you're getting the really high-quality fat-soluble nutrients, and then you're also getting all the different vitamins and minerals. And so what I do is I go through all of those different nutrients, what foods they're found in, what recipes they're found in the book, and also the contributors of deficiencies. And that's a really key point, because that's something that, you know, not a lot of people consider. They just consider, let's get these nutrients in, and then I'm going to be fine. A lot of different factors that go into that. So then there's also lots of other things to consider, like decreasing your toxic burden for helping your children to thrive in utero and during childhood. So getting rid of dryer sheets, synthetic fragrances, air fresheners, which are, of course, high in phthalates, which are endocrine disruptors, decreasing pesticides, decreasing packaged food, which is high in BPA, and then so increasing the biodiversity in your diet, so eating lots of different plant foods. I refer to this in the book as a plant-rich diet. Making sure that your children and when you're pregnant are eating really nutrient-dense foods to eliminate nutrient deficiencies like we talked about. And then exposing your children to dirt, so getting them outside in nature, on the trails, in the mountains, and letting them play in dirt, so not being so hyper-vigilant about using hand sanitizers and making bleaching everything. And, like, you know, I have my kids wash their hands with water if we're out in public and there's toxic soap. I just said, just use hot water. That's all you need to do. I feel like really we're so over-sanitized here in America and in other countries where there isn't that same level of sanitation. We don't see autoimmune diseases and allergies like we have here.
That's correct.
There's a balance, you know, they have some other issues that we don't have, but we need to really kind of stop being so hypervigilant about watching everything and making sure everything is clean and perfect. Just let the kids get dirty. Let them eat dirt. Let them eat vegetables with dirt on them. I have my kids all the time go out to the garden. When they're picking carrots in the garden, I brush the big chunks of dirt off. But I said, I always tell them, don't wash the dirt off. This is really important. This is full of microbes. All these vegetables have their own microbiome around them. And these soil microorganisms are incredible for helping with gut health. So it's what our ancestors did, they were out eating vegetables and tubers and roots all the time, everywhere. And so they were picking up all sorts of different bacteria and microorganisms from the roots that are, you know, the soil microorganisms were on these plants. And we just don't have that anymore. If you're eating supermarket packaged processed foods, it's just not there.
That's so correct. You know, I just want our listeners to understand that what I believe and you believe is that we've got to, if we're going to have dirt and we're going to have vegetables and eat it without being washed and peeled and all that, it's got to be organic dirt. What I mean by that is that you don't want to be eating, you know, from vegetables and all that from the regular supermarkets where it's loaded with pesticides, chemicals, sprays, irradiated, you name it. We're talking about organic, just like your garden here, Allie. You know, if you've got your own fresh garden, then you really don't need to wash that dirt off as much. And the reason why we want that dirt, of course, is that we want that biodiversity. So let's talk a little bit about biodiversity. You mentioned that you want to be eating a lot of fiber to enhance that. And I know your book goes into that a bit. Can you share that a little bit more?
Yeah, so all these different plant foods have different fibers and different starches that feed different microorganisms in the gut. And these microorganisms need this food. It's like this, it's a beautiful symbiosis, right? And then they produce organic acids like butyric acid, which nourish the enterocytes in the gut. And so you just get a healthier gut lining. It's garbanzo beans. that's a great source of beneficial fibers for feeding bacteria in the gut. Starchy vegetables like Jerusalem artichoke, which I know is really high in inulin, and carrots, celery, sweet potatoes, all of these different foods have different fiber and starch profiles, which feed different microorganisms in the gut. So the key is really to have a diverse diet. And that's one of the things I think that a lot of children don't have these days because they're eating bread and chicken nuggets and french fries. And so they tend to have a lack of biodiversity, a lack of beneficial bacteria, lack of diverse bacteria in the gut, which kind of sets up this vicious cycle of not really being able to digest all these plant fibers. So I think sometimes they shy away from wanting to eat vegetables because of this. That's my theory. I don't know if it's
true. Oh, that's a good point. You know what? You're right about that because, Allie, when you start eating, when you don't eat enough good bacteria and as well as, of course, the fiber that you're going to feed the food for these bacteria, you definitely end up having dysbiosis. And most of the time, it's the yeast that overgrows. And then you've got all of these bacteria that create what's called hydrogen sulfide gas. There's gas-producing bacteria, right? And there you go. You've got the SIBO. Yeah. And that's the reason why they're like uncomfortable. They eat a little bit of broccoli and like, oh my God, I'm like having a lot of gas now and I'm burping, right? I think you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and I think the kids actually they're not conscious of it, and so they don't think, oh, I'm eating this and that's causing my stomach to be bloated. It's an unconscious behavior because they haven't woken up enough yet to put the pieces together, and so they just crave the plain white bread, right, which is low in fiber, and chicken nuggets and French fries and really simple sugars because they have an overgrowth of yeast, so of course they're feeding the yeast, and then also they can't digest all of the plant fibers because they don't have the bacterial diversity. And so that's one thing we really need to think about with picky eating behaviors, that might not be something that, you know, that there's something wrong with the kid. It might be something going on in the gut.
Right. Good point there. You know, you mentioned about garbanzo beans. It's one of my favorite beans. And, you know, a lot of my patients that come in, a lot of them do have dysbiosis. So what I do in the beginning of our program for the first 6 weeks, I tell them to stay away from those types of beans. But I want to make sure that you've got some really good recipes, right? You got some great recipes in your Nourishing Meals cookbook with garbanzo beans and many other beans.
Yeah, I do. And I also have many bean-free and grain-free recipes, just like you said. So in the beginning, when you are doing a healing diet, sometimes you do have to cut these foods out so you can change the dysbiosis. And then eventually, as you have more bacterial diversity in your gut, you've supplemented with soil probiotics and probiotics, and you're starting to get your gut health back, then you can start to introduce a lot more beans and grains and fibrous foods. And I have, there's in the cookbook, I have recipes for everything.
I know you do.
Yeah. It's 365 recipes. So if you have your naturopathic doctor and you're putting your patient on a diet, you can help them go through the book and choose recipes for each stage of that kind of healing diet.
You know what I also love about your book is that you actually have a section on preserving food, how to preserve food. And, you know, before we had a refrigerator, I think the refrigerator is what's really messed up our gut, truthfully.
I think about it.
It's like we had fermented foods all the time because that's how we preserved our foods and vegetables during the different seasons. And once the refrigerator came into our lives, that was it with our gut, right?
I know,
but
right?
Anyway, this book is amazing, absolutely amazing. The Nourishing Meals, it's the 365 whole foods, allergy-free recipes for healing your family one meal at a time. Ellie, you are awesome. Thanks so much for being here. We can talk so much more. I definitely want to have you back on another show. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Absolutely. All right. Great information. I put all the links on her about her website. Her website is called nourishingmeals.com. You got to go there too because there's tons of free information. Every time it's a blog on different types of recipes. Please go there, nourishingmeals.com. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural health strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.